presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, one of the most important Air Force's research projects has to do with protection of flyers and aircraft personnel during emergencies, especially when something goes wrong over the ocean and rescue might be hours, maybe days away. Well, up to now, the life raft has been used to keep men afloat after overwater crashes, but there was nothing the downed flyer could wear to protect himself from bitter cold water or icy winds. Many a pilot has been picked up suffering from exposure, sometimes seriously. Recently, the Air Transport Command, which operates the Air Rescue Service, worked out a most unusual anti-exposure suit for protection of flyers on the water. The suit is made of light waterproof material and designed to be worn over regular flying clothes. It'll keep a man afloat and safe in icy cold water for almost an hour, which is more than any other suit manufactured up to now will do. And if a life raft is available, the suit will keep a flyer warm for as long as 2 weeks. The Air Rescue Service has already tested this anti-exposure suit thoroughly in all kinds of weather, in tropic heat as well as Arctic cold. It can be put on in less than 40 seconds, covers the whole body except for the face, and because of a brand new chemical coating, it can easily be put on over a complete flying outfit. The suit is even equipped with a full hood and warm woolen mittens. So you can see when it comes to safety, the Air Forces thinks of everything. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back to tell you of another new AAF discovery. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. The massive temple of Kumukan stands majestically golden in the rays of the early morning sun and throws a long triangular shadow over the tumbled ruins of Xochitl. There's nothing mysterious or spectral about the ancient city in the daylight. And as a twin-engine Cessna circles high above, the pilot, a woman dressed entirely in black, stares down at the placid scene, smiling satisfaction.
So, Miguel, at last we have found it. Here is the lost city.
You are sure this is where we shall find the wall with the great secret?
I am positive, Miguel.
There is nothing much left of the place. Where shall we look?
The wall is undoubtedly somewhere in the heart of the great temple.
I do not see any place large enough for us to land.
The emergency field at Valladolid is not far. We shall leave the airplane there and proceed to the lost city on foot.
What of Harrigan and Tinker, senor? You think they have already found the place?
I see no one below. Wait, what is that?
Wait.
At the base of the temple, near the steps. It is a donkey.
See, it is tied to a rock. Senora, there is a pack on its back.
So?
Then they are in the ruins. They've already found the wall.
Perhaps. Or perhaps the animal belongs to a native. In any case, we shall take no chances.
Madre de Dios, senor, what do you do?
My team's on, Miguel. Get ready.
But there is nothing to shoot at.
You shoot the donkey, idiot.
What is the good of that?
I said we take no chances. Quickly now. We are almost within range.
See? See?
You are ready?
A little more to the left, senor.
Very well.
Now, hold the plane steady.
Hurry, Miguel. We are close to the ground.
So? Now!
Hit him, you fool! Hit him!
I am trying, senor, my best.
Rope which held him.
I am sorry, senora.
Well, it is no matter. We have accomplished our purpose in another way. Now whoever is inside is without supplies. So, we fly to Valladolid and return to the lost city tonight.
Banking sharply, the woman whom we now know is La Pantera, Hops and Tank's deadly enemy, roars away over the tropical forest toward Valladolid. Meanwhile, deep in a tunnel of the ancient temple, we find the boys and young Christopher Cross helplessly trapped. Suddenly, Tank stirs.
Hey, you guys hear anything?
No, not me.
I didn't either. Why? I could have sworn I heard a plane. It was diving. I heard machine guns, too.
Ah, you were dreaming, Tank.
Yeah, I guess so. Gosh, a plane. Be up in the air again where everything's clean and fresh, where you can see the sun and the moon and the stars.
Cut it, Tank.
That's the way to cash in your chips, I always say. Out in the open. Not down in a dirty hole like this, like rats in a trap.
Tank, will you please stop? Why?
That's what all of us are thinking about.
Huh?
Yes, Chris.
How long have we been down here?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, what difference does it make? We'll be here a lot longer.
Tank, if you can't open your mouth without hanging crepe, go somewhere else, will
you? And I wish I could.
If we only had some water. I'm awfully thirsty.
Same here. At least the air's still good. We won't suffocate.
Yeah. Hey, where are you going, Hop?
I want to check that stone slab.
Huh? What for?
It chipped quite a lot of way before the screwdriver broke. There's a hole in the wall. Maybe if I could just get my arm in it.
Need any help?
No, thanks. There's a piece of rock sticking out. Wonder if I can chip it away with a screwdriver handle.
Oh, Hop, what's the use?
Tank, I'm not giving up till I know there isn't a chance.
What? Can you get your arm in now?
Uh-huh. Well, there's a big space between the slab and the wall.
Yeah.
What's this?
Find anything?
What is it, Hop?
There's a rope, I think.
A rope? Well, pull on it. Maybe something will happen.
I'm trying to, but I can't get a grip.
Maybe if I tried.
No, your arm's twice as big as mine. You'd never even get in. Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Swell. Give it a good yank.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing's happening.
But it must be there for something.
It's part of the slab lifting mechanism, I guess, but I can't seem to make it work. Yeah.
No. Wait a minute, Hop.
Huh?
Can you pull the rope into the tunnel here?
Yes, loose at one end.
Well, then, if you and Tank and I pulled on it together, something might happen.
Hey, the kid's got something.
Good idea, Chris.
Come on, Hop. Pull it. Pull it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Tank, keep your shirt on. I'm working as fast as I can. Yeah, here's the end. Grab a tank and pull it through.
Got it.
Let me help.
Let's keep pulling. There's a lot more slack.
Oh, baby, if this works.
All right, it's taut. You both have a good grip?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And let's get at it. Pull. Pull with all your might.
Harder.
Yeah.
What's that?
Slab is moving a little. The rope must be hitched over the top by a pulley.
We'll pull it up. We'll do it.
Let's get at it. Put your backs into it, fellas.
Come on.
More, Tank. More.
Pull it with all I got.
Is it lifting?
Only an inch or so. More, Tank. Come on.
I can't hop. I just ain't got no more. My arms are numb.
All right, let go.
Hop, we're not going to give up, are we?
Well.
But it's the only way we can get out.
Chris, we just can't do it. It's too heavy.
Oh, I'm pooped.
Well, let's try again. Maybe we didn't all pull together. We've got to, Hop. We've got to.
All right, we will as soon as we catch our breath. Relax a minute.
Okay.
Hey, brother, I ain't lifted anything so heavy in all my life.
I wonder if there's anything we could use to brace the slab.
What do you mean?
If we could put something under it after we lift it, then we won't lose what we've gained. Maybe a few loose stones would do it.
I'll help you look.
Oh, wait.
What's the matter?
Tank, stand still.
But what?
Look. It's the eyes. The eyes of the black cat.
Hop, Tank, and Chris stand rooted to the ground, for they see the now all too familiar eyes glowing in the depths of the tunnel, shining with an unblinking stare. Gang, you won't want to miss the thrill-packed climax of today's episode, so stand by. You know, gang, oxygen is one of the most vital necessities in high-altitude flying. But the main trouble has been that enough of it for a complete crew takes up a lot of space and weighs about 500 pounds. Of course, since it's so important, there just is no choice in the matter, and it has to be taken along. However, the AAF knew there must be a way to use liquid oxygen instead of oxygen gas, thereby cutting down the space required and the weight. So ever since 1921, experiments have been going on to put liquid oxygen to use in planes. When the war started, these experiments were stepped up considerably. If something could be found to put liquid oxygen to use for breathing, a lot of space would be saved in a high-altitude airship, space which could be used for other urgent needs. Machines called converters were developed, but none was practical enough to use. Then the Air Forces, with the help of the Bendix Aircraft Company, built the Bendix converter. It's already been tested in the lab up to an altitude of 100,000 feet and in temperatures as far down as 65 below zero. Oh, they really threw the book at it. Every possible test was given it, and the Bendix converter came through. And in actual flight tests, it performed even better than expected. In the converter, the liquid oxygen flows into a coil where it immediately becomes a gas. This continues until the gas builds up pressure enough to work a valve which feeds the lines to each crewman. There's enough of the life-giving gas in the new system to keep 8 men breathing for 6 hours. And when you stop to think how much you breathe in 6 hours, well, that's an awful lot of oxygen. You know, the Air Forces is always on the hunt for something better. And if you want to play a part in the future of aviation, get set to take your place in the sky. Always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Trapped in tunnel deep in the ancient temple of Kumukan, Pop, Tank, and Chris were trying to find a way out when suddenly they saw, not 20 feet away, 2 cat's eyes glowing menacingly. The boys stand absolutely still, almost afraid to move.
What do we do?
Hold still.
Just standing there, staring.
Where did it come from?
That's what I'd like to know. Let him ease forward, quietly as possible.
If I get my hands on it, to help me, I'll wring its neck.
Slowly, Tank, slowly.
It's still standing there watching.
No, Tank, I couldn't help it.
Hop, it's gone.
Come on. What happened to it? Where'd it go to? Let's try to find out.
It was right about here, I'm sure it was.
Look around, fellas.
What do you mean, look? I can't see a thing.
Feel around. Check the walls everywhere.
I don't get it.
That cat wasn't in here before, which means it got in through an opening of some kind.
And maybe the opening's big enough for us.
Yeah, but we've been checking it. Jumping Jenny.
What is it?
Big hole in the wall, right next to the floor.
Swell.
Let's see.
There it is. Feel it?
Yeah.
Is it big enough for us to get through?
No. Not nearly. It's a cinch I could never get through.
Well, I bet I can do it. I'm not very big. Wait, I'll get down on my stomach.
Okay, fella, go to it.
So watch yourself. If you get caught in
it... Here it goes.
How you doing?
Just tight squeeze.
Be careful, Chris.
Yeah, sure.
He's got his whole body in it.
I only hope he doesn't get stuck. Yes.
I'm all the way through. I'm in another tunnel.
Good boy. Can you see anything?
No, it's too dark.
Well, can you find a way to get us out?
I'll try.
Maybe you can find the mechanism that operates the stone slabs.
Oh, my gosh.
Chris, what's the matter?
Somebody's coming.
What? Duck back into the hole.
I can't. Two ladies almost on top of me.
At Chris's cry of alarm, Hop and Tank involuntarily start forward, but they can do nothing to help the boy. Who or what is in the tunnel with Chris? Gang, don't miss tomorrow's episode. Be sure to tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.